But also that we conduct our work, our strategic objectives are also aligned to the service delivery outcomes and inputs, and particularly service delivery outcome 4, as well as the 11-12 outcome. Now, we will start off with the program 1 on administration. The first column talks to output, the second column is your key performance indicators, and of course the last column is your your target. And the first output is around the issue of the improving organizational performance. And the indicator related to that is that we need to be able to attain fully functional performance management system, and I forgot to imply that, and comply with that at 100% level. And that the target basically is that by the end of this year we should be conducting the self-assessment around the issue of the management performance capability. On 1.2 is improving service delivery access and quality. And all we are saying there is that we need to ensure that our service delivery points are quite accessible with geographical norms and standards. And for us to do this, we must be in a position to conduct accessibility study in line with geographic norms and standards with an implementation plan. I think when we appeared at some point a few weeks ago before this control committee, we also alluded to the work that we're doing with the HRSC around the question of the accessibility of our services, specifically looking at the location of our labor centers and how our labor centers are accessible. Go on. On communication, what we are saying that we need to popularize our research work that will be produced through research monitoring and evaluation so that our work has got to be clearly understood out there within the broader public context. And what we are therefore targeting to do is that we should be able to focus mainly on launching publications such as your labor market bulletin, your industrial action report, as well as the South African labor market bulletin focusing on job opportunity and unemployment in South Africa. Output 1.5 is medium-term expenditure framework, and human resource plan hasn't got to be implemented. And the focal point today is that we need to increase the percentage of women, youth, and people with disabilities employed in line with our employment equity plan, as well as filling all the vacancies within a specified period of time. And our target is that 40% women be employed at the level of senior management service, as well as 48% youth and 4% people with disabilities. And we are targeting that should be accomplished or should have been accomplished by the 31st of March 2013. And our vacancy rate stands at 7% as we speak, and what we must be in a position to do is to reduce it and ensure that by the 31st of March 2013 we are below the 7% vacancy rate. On the question of strengthening institutional capacity of the department, specifically around the issues of ICT, a question of developing strategy and implementing it, we're targeting 50% of the strategy plan components having got to be implemented, and also the level of the PPP ICT contract having got to be effectively managed. We are currently doing your exit and transfer a plan, developing that or implementing that as well. We're not anything that, that by the 31st of March 2013 would have completed the handover of the PPP service provider and close out on the PPP ICT contract. On improving supply chain management and procurement, Cabinet has a very clear stated position that we need to comply. No, we need to be able to settle invoices within a 30-day period. So what we are stating as an indicator is that 100% of payments of all compliance invoices have got to be effected within the 30-day period of receipt. On inspection and enforcement services program 2, employment equity implementation and enforcement mechanisms having got to be strengthened to ensure transformation of the labor market. Our indicators that will need to increase the percentage of employers complying with employment equity plans to reflect demographics of the country in all of professional categories. And we're targeting that of the 240 employers, 80% of which have got to comply with the legislation. On protecting vulnerable workers, we are advocating that we need to improve capacity to monitor and enforce compliance with labor legislation and decent work principles. And our performance indicators that 80% of workplaces inspected and audited must comply with labor legislation within 90 days of inspection and all audit. Our target is that 80% of 78,000 workplaces inspected should be complying within the 90 days of inspection or audit. But also alongside this kind of work, we need to conduct advocacy sessions, and we're targeting that we should be having 2 advocacy sessions, focusing on problematic factors, such as forestry and hospitality sectors. In this regard, we are aiming to hold 2 seminars in the targeted sectors, and that is forestry and hospitality. We should also, in the period they targeted, develop and implement a training program for shop stewards. One of the indicators is that the percentage of labor complaints, they have got to be resolved within specified days of receipt at the level of registration, and our target is that we should be able to do 70% of complaints within 14 days. On strengthening social protection, occupational health and safety implementation and enforcement mechanisms is one of our outputs. Our performance indicators that we need to reduce incidents, particularly in 4 high-risk sectors, iron and steel, construction, chemical, agriculture, and forestry. And we're targeting that for 2013, we need to reduce these incidences in the 4 high-risk areas by at least 2% compared to 2011 and 2012. One of the indicators is that a percentage of workplaces inspected and audited should be complying with labor legislation within 90 days of inspection or audit. And therefore, the target stands at 80% of the 61,760 workplaces inspected in high-risk sectors are to comply. 2.4, the performance indicator there is also is indicated that besides the issue of inspection and enforcement and so forth, we will also step up efforts insofar as the education and advocacy sessions that have got to be conducted within this identified sectors. And we are targeting four seminars as outlined in the presentation, for instance, in iron and steel and chemicals. And we are also targeting that we should be having one national occupational health and safety conference during this particular period, and that we should also have an advocacy campaign to create awareness on workers' rights within the specified period. A percentage we need to reduce the noise induced hearing loss. We need to have a reduction at that level, particularly in the iron and steel industry. And what we will then do to conduct a baseline study on the extent of noise induced during hearing loss in the iron and steel industry. But alongside that, we also need to develop a preventative strategy based on findings that would be derived from the baseline study. On public employment services, particularly focusing on the contribution to employment creation, public employment services legislation related to regulations and guidelines brought to be developed. And the indicator is that we need to have your required legislation and regulations and guidelines in place. And we're targeting that the Employment Services Act regulations and guidelines should be in place within the specified period, and that private employment agencies and career guidance guidelines should also be in place. Now, we will also need to communicate our initiatives and interventions through various forms of media, amongst which we are indicating that our advocacy campaigns must be conducted at national as well as at provincial level, and at least one national and two major provincial advocacy campaigns are targeted to be conducted annually. Insofar as the registration of work seekers on our system called ESA, we need to increase the number of and the rate of capturing work seekers of different categories on our system. And we're targeting that 460,000 reporting work seekers should be registered on the ESA system. ESA system, ESA means Employment Services of South Africa. We will also need to, one of the objectives is to profile work seekers. And the indication is that the percentage of work seekers registered on the system has got to be profiled, and 80% of whom of people registered as work seekers on our system have got profiled within a 60-day period. Work seekers also have got to be placed in opportunities and referred to other services. And what we'll have to attain is to increase the number of work seekers that are placed and or referred to opportunities and other services. We're targeting that at least 18,000 work seekers be placed within the stipulated period, and 72,000 work seekers referred to training opportunities, of course, in the whole range of other opportunities that we can expose them to. insofar as the provision of services, or specialized services to employers, we need to increase the number of employers that are registering vacancies or taking advantage of the system that we have, the ESA system, the Employment Services the System of South Africa, and that we need to increase the number of companies and employers registering vacancies on the ESA system from 2,000 as we had in 2011-2012 to 3,000 in 2012-2013. The question of the private employment agencies to provide the Employment Services registrant. We had in the previous year 1,500 of those that were on our system. We are aiming that by the end of March 2013 we should be having 2,000 of those. The number of requests for recommendation for work permits responded to was stating that within the stipulated period we should be in a position to for work permits recommendations received that they should be processed within a period of 30 days. On the specialized employment opportunities provided to eligible people with disabilities, our indicator is that we need to have an approved policy and legal framework for sheltered employment factories, and that alongside, not necessarily alongside, but the target is that we need to have a management structure established, systems developed, and piloting conducted. We need to increase the sale of goods from service products, leading to more intake of people with disabilities into sheltered employment factories. And our target is that our sales currently stand at 30% for 11-12, but for 12-13, we are targeting that we should be increasing from 30 to 35% with the hope that that would also to lead to a situation where more people with disabilities are taken on board by the sheltered employment factories. Products and the services of our system companies, that they should be world-class and competitive. I indicated that we need to increase the number of companies assisted to facilitate constructive dialogue between social partners, managers, workers, to improve productivity. And our target is 200 companies they should be assisted. There's a question of capacitating your SMMEs to contribute to sustainable employment creation. We need to increase the number of the SME managers that are trained and assisted to make matters related to manage matters that relate to intellectual property. And our target is that we should be having 3,500 SME managers trained and capacitated. We also would need to focus on the question of saving jobs in distress. The companies, and we want to do so through social plan interventions, and we are targeting that we should at least have 22,500 jobs saved. The last program is the labor policy and industrial relations. And speaking to the issue of protecting vulnerable workers and promoting equity in the labor market, we will want to do so through sectoral determinations that are to be published. And we'll have to review those as part of our indicators, and that in the process of doing so, we want to publish an amended sectoral determinations with minimum wages for one sector just by June 2012, and review and publish five sectoral determinations by January 22nd. But also alongside that, we need to investigate the new areas for setting the sectoral determination. And that means going the route of investigating two new sectors with a view to establish sectoral determination by March 2013. On the small business determination renewal, we will want to amend the ministerial determination, and that we target that the small business ministerial determination would be amended by the end of March 2013. On employment equity implementation and enforcement mechanisms, particularly strengthening the code of good practice and technical assistance guidelines on HIV and AIDS, would have to be reviewed and amended. And our target is that the HIV and AIDS code and technical assistance guidance be amended by June 2012. Income differentials would have to be assessed to determine the race and gender disparities in salaries. And our target is that 30 income differentials assessed to determine race and gender disparities in salaries by the end of March 2013. On strengthening multilateral and bilateral relations, particularly the focal point here being the participation in the ILO governing board in the ILO conference and conferences. We would want to develop South Africa's position documents on agenda items for ILO positions, ILO meetings, excuse me. And our target is that those position documents on the agenda items for ILO governing body and ILO conferences have got to be submitted by May 2012. Strengthening relations with partner countries will do so through a memoranda of the understanding and otherwise has got to be reviewed and signed. And in this particular instance, we're targeting Namibia, Lesotho, Swaziland, China, and Nigeria by March 2013. And also, we are targeting a memorandum of understanding with Brazil by March 2013. Participation in the African Union Labour and Social Affairs Commission, African Regional Labour Administration Centre, and SADC Employment and Labour sector. Again, here is a question of developing our position as part of the position documents on identified agenda items for these particular bodies. And that will do so by the end of May 2012, as well as for SADC Employment and Labour sector by April 2012. On promoting sound labor relations, improving South Africa's decent work country program, project and priority output areas have got to be identified, agreed on with social partners, implemented and reported on. And what we have got to do as a department is to monitor implementation of the decent work country program and submit quarterly reports. On managing the implementation of the Labor Relations Act 1995, the LRA has got to be amended and bills submitted to Cabinet. Employment equity implementation and enforcement mechanisms strengthened. The Employment Equity Act amended, network engagement finalized on the Employment Equity Act and amendments by November 2012. Manage the implementation of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, BCEA amended, and bills submitted to Cabinet. Monitoring the impact of legislation changing labor market trends will be detected, reported, and implications thereof for the department's interventions. And are targeting that the annual labor market review produced and labor market trends have got to be analyzed and linked to the department's interventions and ministerial briefing reports produced upon release of the key labor market issues. And we are targeting that by the end of March, we will have an annual labor market review developed and disseminated, and that the labor market trends reports, in particular, have got to be completed and published by September 2012. And industrial action annual labor market bulletin, job opportunity index, and unemployment and four briefing reports on QLFS by April, July, October, and January 2013. We will also need, as part of monitoring the impact of legislation, we will also need to conduct research on the impact of legislation. And research reports have got to be produced and disseminated, and we hope to have two research reports completed by March 2013. Research monitoring and evaluation agenda will have to be developed, as well as approved by March 2013. Now, the last slide, a chairperson is about land policy initiatives, and we have just listed them there, so that these are the upcoming policy initiatives that are to be expected. One of them is the amendment on the Unemployment Insurance Act, number 63 of 2001, promulgation of the Employment Services Act, amendment of the Compensation for Occupational Injuries and Diseases Act, repealing of the Occupational Health and Safety Act, number 85 of 1993, amendment to the Employment Equity Act, amendment of the Basic Conditions Act, and amendment of the Labor Relations Act. With regards to the last two amendments, we know where the process is. The Basic Conditions of Employment Act as well as the Labor Relations Act are pieces of legislation in terms of amendments that will be appearing before Parliament pretty soon. So thank you very much.
Honourable Member, I'm not going to open the questions on the presentation of the DG. So what I'll do is I'll call for other presentations, and then after that we can engage and make sure that we don't miss our 1:30 time for the meeting. May I give the opportunity to ask for a presentation from the CCMA. Let me brief.
Okay, yeah, Pambi, never mind. You are police.
They call it in Baruski Donka. Donka period.
Thank you, Chair. We will also try and move through quite speedily just to contextualize our Siyaphambili strategy. It is a 5-year strategy. And as previously indicated, it is consulted through the governing body all the way through the organization. And it determines the allocation of our resources. I'm speaking to the issues before the slides, so I ask that you do not mind in the interest of time. Obviously, our vision, mission, and values all translate into the strategic objectives and the key performance areas and targets which we are here to address. But I think the connection in the organization is particularly important because the vision and mission drives everything that the CCMA does, and obviously the vision is to be the premier dispute prevention, management, and dispute resolution organization with key mission elements, the promotion of social justice and economic development in the world of work. And that drives everything that the CCMA does, along with its values and also its goals. In terms of the goals, these are the three goals that that we've divided up our activities under. The one is positioning the CCMA with impartiality to promote the social justice and economic development. And that also is all the way through the organization from the governing body, which is tripartite, into the way in which issues are dealt with by the CCMA and how it's managed. Obviously, fairness is a key issue for the CCMA. Goal 2 is pivotal in terms of customer-facing professional user-friendly services delivered with speed, and that's all about the service that our customers receive and their intervention with the CCMA. And then goal 3 is internal issues in terms of how we make the organization effective and strive for continuous improvement. The goals are then broken into strategic objectives, and you will see that the 6 strategic objectives are listed there. The first being enriching the role of the CCMA in the labour market. The second being building skills to achieve professionalism. The third, deliver excellent service rooted in social justice, ensuring the balance between quality and quantity. And at the moment, the focus, although quantity is always an issue, we're focusing heavily on quality, enhancing and entrenching internal processes and systems for optimal deployment of resources. There's constantly pressure in the organization to have better efficiencies and do more with the budgetary allocations that we have. Aligning the structure for optimal implementation, that's also about making the organization more efficient. And then entrenching the organizational culture that supports delivery of the mandate. And that stretches across the service delivery ethic, across professional services, internal, how we run the organization, and most importantly, achieving the social justice and economic development imperatives. So those are the strategic objectives, and I'll hand over to the director to take us through the detail in terms of the 2012-2013 targets for those strategic objectives.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm also not going to take everybody through lines and lines of tables setting out specific strategic issues, also in the interest of time, but as highlighted by the Chairperson of the governing body, CCMA has a strategic objective, and underneath those, there are very specific issues that underpin each of those items. What we've decided to do is just to select a few items that we thought would be of interest to the members and to flag what's going on them and a bit of progress in relation to that. So the first objective, as mentioned, is enriching the role of a CCMA in the labour market. And as these tables stand, the far right one indicates what the work is for this year three of the strategic plan, and the middle table indicates what's going on and what our ultimate target is for year five. If we go to the next slide, and we look at under this one, and I'm going to highlight that, and that's strategic objective 1.5, which is promoting of employment security. And I'm going to highlight specifically that the role of the CCMA... let me go to 1.1. Okay. I'm going to highlight 1.1, which deals with the work that we're doing and with the role...
May I say for now that those want to have tea, you know, can move out silently, get their tea, so we can have a waking tea before everything gets cold. So continue, but let's not disturb the business with our tea. Thank
you. Okay. So firstly, to highlight, I mean, probably one of the most important roles that the CCMA plays, and that is that it plays a role in leading in social dialogue and economic development, and the work that we've done in relation to that is working both with our social partners and also making sure that we also do various bits of research in relation to the work on our social partners and making sure we have very significant labour market events which disclose and discuss and deal specifically with work that we do, and we make sure that we educate the people who need to use the CCMA and the citizens of South Africa, and we also participate in very specific labour market events. Then moving on to the next slide, we deal specifically with the item at 1.5, which I'm going to highlight, and that is the promotion of employment security. We're going to flag some of the key work that we've done in that area, which is very, very significant and I think relevant to the imperatives that everybody has in South Africa at the moment. And so we thought that we should flag that out. The CCMA here has a whole lot of approaches that they do in relation to supporting the economy. And in particular, they use various ways of dealing with certain items. And we thought that we would specifically go on to the work that we do in supporting the economy. So in relation to the strategic objective, we wanted to flag the work that's been done in the training layoff scheme, which essentially is the work in relation to trying to save jobs and to try and ensure that there is less job loss. And this sort of demonstrates how we've operationalized the work in relation to the training layoff scheme and the kind of work that we've done in a time since the training layoff scheme has been developed. This is a running total in relation to the strategic plan and in the time frame of the whole system. So it's important to note that in relation to that, that it is a significant achievement, and we thought it would be important to flag that. Going on to the next item also, the other area that the CTMA has a very important role in relation to its work is a focus on ensuring that we have job saving and not lack of job loss in relation to retrenchments. And again, this slide in relation to that item of 1.5 specifically demonstrates how we're supporting the economy through various ways of facilitation and how obviously that work also in the training layoff scheme links into saving jobs and minimizing retrenchments and the achievements that the CTMA has achieved under that particular target item. Then leading on to the last two items, which are what ones I'm not going to flag, and I'm going to move on to the next strategic objective, and that is to 1.7 of the strategic objective, and that is to show the work that we're probably known for the most and the kind of work that we do, and that is what are we doing in relation to our dispute resolution settlement process and what do we do when everybody sees their strikes going on in the nation. So moving on to the next slide, we see again a process of promoting industrial peace, which is a key area of work that we need to do. And we have done a lot of work in this area. And I think it's important that we should flag at this point in time, particularly the work that the CTMA has done in the private security sector. Obviously, this is a running total in relation to the fact that we formed a voluntary bargaining structure for the private security sector in 2009. But as you can see going on a little bit later, we have more recently done a lot of work in that area. Can we click to the next items on the slide, please? Obviously, also a significant role was played in the World Cup, but I'm moving into this private security, which is the third bullet point in the first point there. And I think it's important to point out that that many people will remember, and it's just to flag a role the CTMA plays in relation to supporting the economy, that there was a very terrible strike in 2006, and we specifically managed that area. And I'm very happy to announce that in the last few weeks, we actually settled and resolved the 2012 private security mediation. And that is important insofar as the fact that we have again ensured that we're supporting the economy and there are less strike days lost to the economy. And so what that shows is that through the work that we've done starting at the beginning of the strategy right up until this point, that over the last 6 years, we've actually managed to certainly bring peace in that specifically vulnerable sector. And then obviously what we've listed there is we did in the clothing sector last year, civil engineering and transnet and all other areas, chemical sector last year, we also played a significant role in relation to ensuring that we did that for them as well. On the next bullet, which also deals with a slightly different issue, but all this work shows and demonstrates, which is the key target area in 1.7, which is the issue that there's a huge growth in the confidence in the social partners and the society in the CTMA, and we've had a 94% increase in the acceptance of the offers for when there are matters of the nature relating to industrial action, and they're asking the CTMA to intervene. It isn't always the case, but it is. And so for a strategic target area, we feel that in supporting the economy and promoting industrial peace, it's a good demonstration of how we're moving in relation to our in relation to our strategic objective. Moving on to strategic objective two, we are really going to just say that we've got a whole lot of issues around there that we're working on, and that's mainly relating to training and ensuring that the development and delivery of the courses that we want to do to train commissioners are prioritized and we actually are able to implement them. We do quite a lot of training in our commissioners. It's very important that we train them and we work in relation to that because that is actually what ensures that we deliver the quality that the chairperson was talking about a few minutes ago. Moving on to the next item, as you can see, we are also dealing with building skills and achieving professionalism, and that is actually particularly in relation to the staff of the CTMA and the role that they play in relation to the society. moving to our strategic objective 3, which is delivering excellent service rooted in social justice and ensuring a balance between quality and quantity. And in this area, again, we're going to just emphasize one particular strategic objective, which is 3.3, which is the review of the impact of our extended mandate, which I've partly alluded to earlier when we talked about the training layoff scheme and the work that we've done in relation to supporting the economy and the work and the impact that that has had on job saving and trying to find alternative solutions to retrenchment. Moving on to the balance of that target, I maybe want to flag just 3.5 as well, which is around the fact that we're trying to ensure that there's better working between everyone in their work that they do, and that they are delivering their quality of services in an effective and efficient manner. And obviously, we always put up the details in relation to the efficiencies that we have, and the gain efficiencies are being achieved quite successfully at the present moment. Moving on to strategic objective 4, we wanted to just highlight in particular the item 4.4, which is the importance of our governance policies and the kind of work that we've done very recently in relation to the governance policies, and that the work that we've done there has made sure that the policies that we implement and the way we run the organization is particularly effective. Highlighting maybe the next item, I'll hand over to the CFO of the CTMA, who will deal with item 4.5 and just a particular slide that we think might be of relevance to the committee, which is deals with strategic objective 4 and item 4.5, which is in relation to the public finance management compliance and issues there, and in particular the flagging the going concern. Ntombi.
Thank you. Thank you, Director, and thank you to the Chairperson. Issues that we're talking about around the going concern is basically what we looked at as a CCMA is how to improve the liquidity position as compared to the previous years and what was presented or reported on our financial statement. So the number of measures that they've put in place to basically turn around the situation in terms of the deficit position that we're at. What we've seen is based on the actual numbers that's reported in February this year, that is yesterday, we've seen a liquidity ratio of 0.96:1, of which our target was 0.5. This is actually also still shows a significant improvement to our prior results.
To find this page, managing the going concern in my document.
Chair, it's a slide that we added in because based on the fact that we hadn't addressed anything in relation to financial issues subsequent to sending the documentation, which did indicate the secretariat. Thank you. Okay, sure. It's only one slide. Okay, sure. Sorry. So that shows a significant also improvement compared to prior year of 0.58. The other one that also we can see a significant improvement is as accumulated surplus as at end of February. Also this year we reported 7 million rand as compared to the deficit, to accumulated deficit, which was around 14.5 million rand. A number of initiatives that were taken to lead us to the position that we're at now include efficiencies from the operations side that we've put in place, control and monitoring of our demand management from the supply chain point of view in terms of monitoring our inventory levels and stock levels and so forth. The other one that we also looked at very carefully was from the cash management point of view in terms of investing the surplus, the amount that we have to be able to generate interest where we had a good competitive around those lines. So, yes, there's a number of things that we put in place to achieve those results.
Thanks very much to our CFO. And then moving on to our next strategic objective, which is strategic objective 5, and that is aligning the structure that will enable optimal implementation of the strategy. We're going to specifically focus on 5.2, which deals with promoting skills development, employment equity, and women in commission and leadership positions. And during the course of the year, the work that we've done is to make sure that we've got specific developmental strategies for developing management and women particularly, and making sure that the operational structures of the organization are effectively aligned to do that. And also, in part of that process, required a revising of the CTMA's remuneration strategy, which then obviously links to the goal that is set out in 5.2. Moving on to a strategic objective 6, where we're saying we entrench an organizational culture that supports delivery on our mandate. Again, we're going to just focus on the key item, which is 6.3, where we're talking about the importance of the CTMA adding value to the labor market and the role that it has in relation to its mandate. What we've done very importantly and what we're focusing on this year is doing 2 impact assessments, which we have busy completing, or which we just completed, which will deal specifically with how our organizational initiatives actually show the impact that we are making and on the work that we do in relation to the CCMA's target here and its mix in the labor market. And obviously the entire intention is by 2015 that we have obviously further enhanced our mandate and entrenched our role in the labour market and the work we do in relation to this. What do we do, and I've given you some examples, how do we measure our performance? We have a specific scorecard which is actually operational on a robotic system, and we have a process that measures each key performance area, and we measure them annually, and we measure them for a specific process, and we have a robot system, and usually those colors, which are not showing up on the screen in that, but they are orange, red, and green. I'm not pink, purple, at the moment, but that's all you'll get, okay? And we obviously say that if the target's achieved, it's green, and if it's partially achieved, it's orange, and if it's not achieved, it's red. So we take each measurable outcome, as I've indicated, against that item, and we measure them with a specific target weighting, and we use them to try and make for internal management purposes. Obviously, when we come and present the annual report, we will have a summary of the year's targets to date, but just to give you an example, this is a synopsis of our achievements in relation to the third quarter of the current financial year, taking all the strategic objectives and how those KPIs that I've just highlighted a few of to you will work out. Now, in the fourth corner there, the blue actually is green. So essentially at this point in the third quarter, we are on track to achieving the targets that we've set in the strategic plan for this year and going forward for next year. And just to give an indication of how we operate in relation to that. Chair, thank you very much for listening to me on that, and I'm going to hand back to the chair of the governing body.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Chair, our final slide is just to tie up all our objectives for the following year. You will note that the CCMA once more in the past year received the gold award in terms of the public's legal sector nominations. And it's the third year running that the CCMA was nominated and the second gold in the 3 years. We've had 1 silver and 2 gold. And I think it summarizes the way in which the customers of the CCMA perceive the CCMA, and it obviously summarizes what the CCMA is striving to do in terms of delivering excellent service. We're going to try and stay in that category, obviously, and our strategic plan is targeted around that in terms of making sure that social justice and the economic development mandate is served. Thank you.
Congratulations. And stay in there until a new medal is introduced. Platinum, we want that one, the plaid. Thank you very much, Kibira. DG, who will be the next now? Ex-mine worker. You.
Chairperson, I'll take this opportunity to greet yourself, honorable members of Parliament, the Chairperson of the Board, and members, the Director General of the Department of Labour, and also colleagues. Chairperson, this is a presentation by the Department of Labor, specifically the UIF. This is the content, the vision and mission and legislative mandate of the fund. We are also going to briefly deal with the background of planning, budgeting, reporting cycle, and key planning concepts. We'll talk about the summary of our plan for 5 years. Performance report against the annual briefly, also very briefly, the chairperson, where we are going to talk about our results for the previous financial year. And then we'll deal with the annual performance plan, and we'll deal with also the budget. I think the vision of the UIF, chairperson, is well known to you. Also the mission. What is very important about our mission is that we want to be to render an effective and accessible service to all our stakeholders. We also want to be a sustainable organization with sufficient reserves to be able to sustain our organization. We also want to administer our fund in a professional manner. That talks to issues of governance and reporting. We also are governed in terms of the Act. Here is the Unemployment Insurance Act, the Unemployment Insurance Contributions Act, and also the PSMA. Slide 7, chairperson, deals with the planning, budgeting, and reporting cycle. I don't want to bore members with that. And also the next slide deals with the relationship and timing of the different accountability documents, from the election, the manifesto, the elections, and also finally to the long-term reporting. Slide number 9 deals with important concepts with regard to strategic planning and the outcomes of government broadly. We'll go straight to slide 11, chairperson. And the slide 11 deals with our approval processes, just to confirm that the plan that we present here has been approved by the Minister of Labour. Our slide number 12 deals with what you are here for, which is our strategic plan for a period of 5 years. Our key objectives are, number one, to fund poverty alleviation schemes. Here we deal with the job creation through investment in social responsible investment, upskilling of unemployed workers when they come to our labor centers to ensure that they have better opportunities to be reintegrated into the labor market. Also the social plan, which is done through Productivity South Africa, which is an entity of the Department of Labor. It's important for us to indicate also that our objective, strategic objective, also is improved governance. We talk about the issues of the audit, internal audit, and also the audit committee. In strengthening the institutional capacity of the fund through HRM and proper financial management. This is our core of our objective, encourage compliance through enhanced service delivery. We ensure that we want to cover as many of our clients as possible and to pay them as quick as possible. We also, lastly, want to communicate with our stakeholders through improved stakeholder relations. Slide number 12, chairperson, just trying to indicate the flow of our plan. Our plan originates from the government total outcome approach. There are two outcomes that we are supporting as the UIF. The first one is outcome number 4, which is decent employment through inclusive economic growth. and the other outcome is an efficient and effective and development-oriented public service and an empowered and inclusive citizenship. From these strategic objectives, you go to the Department of Labor, which supports these objectives through contributions to job creation and strengthening social protection. As I find, our alignment is on KRA, which is Fund Poverty Alleviation, KR number 4, encourage compliance through enhanced service delivery. And when it comes to KRA 9 of the Department of Labor, our objective is to support them through improved governance, strengthening the institutional capacity of the fund, and also improve our stakeholder relations. Briefly, slide number 14 talks about performance report against 2011-2012 annual performance plan. I'll just go to Chairperson the ones that relate to service delivery. The first one in that regard, and I'll also deal with the progress. The first one is the key output initiatives aimed at alleviating the harmful effect of unemployment. As a fund, we say our target is the UIFO to consider additional three initiatives by March 2012 in comparison to the previous year based on merit and effectiveness. Now, the progress that we have made, Chairperson, quickly there is that the previous financial year, we have put around 4,500 people through training projects to support that particular indicator. The other one is the investment into social responsible investment. I just need to indicate that in our investment strategy, we've committed to invest 5% of our total investment in job creation projects, and this is done through the IDC. Our mandate is to invest 70% of those in job creation projects. What we have done until the end of December, Chairperson, is that 65% of those funds have been properly invested in social responsible investment, and the creation of jobs in that regard has been in the region of 17,000. And initially, the amount that was invested was 2 billion. It has subsequently been increased to 4 billion. On the slide 16, I just need to talk about implementation of fraud prevention strategy. With regard to the fraud prevention strategy, we have implemented an automated electronic fraud detection system, and the next financial year it will be rolled out to provinces. In terms of cases of fraud, 90% of cases that we have received have been finalized by the end of December, exceeding the target that we put for the total annual financial year. Also, in terms of strategic objective 3, strengthening the institutional capacity of the fund, we believe that the training of our workers is also very important. And in that regard, we have committed to train 70% of our staff in the different areas which will enhance our performance. At the end of December, 67% of the planned training intervention have been implemented. This is also a very important question to indicate that we wanted to have 50% of women in senior management position. That is from the level of director upwards. We have also exceeded that target because 55% of our senior management staff is women. I'll go to slide 18. Which deals with also an important item of service delivery, which we have been battling with as a fund. We targeted to have 80% of our teams to be finalized within a period of 5 weeks. As at December, we exceeded the target because 83% of our teams have been finalized within a period of 5 weeks. Now, on slide 19, We talked about communication with our stakeholders. Our target was to have 6 communication campaigns. Up to December, we've done 4. And we also embarked on publications to reach at least 16 million people, according to the GCIS All Media Survey. By March, the campaigns have taken place, and when we present our annual report, we'll be able to show the results in that regard. On slide 20, we just indicate, Chairperson, the annual performance plan for this current financial year, which is 2012-2013, which supports the five-year strategic plan. There are, in terms of our strategic objective one, we fund poverty alleviation schemes. We think our target is for the board to consider three additional initiatives by March 2013 compared to the previous financial year, based on merit and effectiveness. So the additional schemes will be three, and these are the training schemes. We want to increase our investment in social responsible investment from 70% last financial year to 80% this current financial year. We also want to increase our investment in the social plan by 10% compared to the previous financial year. And that talks to the strategic objective one. Strategic objective number two, the emphasis here is on improved governance. Our target is to have 80% compliance to UIF board, audit committee, and management committee charters document by the 31st of March 2013. When we talk about combined assurance, what we want to do there is to have internal audit performed at head office, provincial office for the quarter one to quarter four. We want 90% of the reports to be presented and signed off by the management of the fund at the end of the financial year. We also want to monitor compliance to the compliance plan and present to the FAC, which is the subcommittee of the board, our board, and also the management committee on a quarterly basis to ensure that we comply with the legislations that are governing us. We also want to provide quarterly risk appetite framework report within 30 days after the end of each quarter to the Unemployment Insurance Commissioner. I have indicated previously, Chairperson, that we have implemented an automated electronic fraud detection system. In this current financial year, we want to implement the second phase of the project according to the approved project plan and time frame. And this relates to the rollout of this system to our provincial offices and also regional offices. Percentage finalization of the cases received and detected, which relate to fraud, we want to finalize 90% of these cases that have been received, and we want to finalize them by the end of the financial year. The previous indicator was 85%, so we have increased that indicator to 90%. Also, with regard to skills development, we support the strategic objective number three, which says is the strengthening of the institutional capacity of the fund. We want to implement our workplace skills plan. 80% of our planned training interventions should be implemented by quarter four, which is the end of the financial year. With regard to employment equity, we want 50% of women in senior management services by the end of March 2010. The question that can arise, Chairperson, is that we have already exceeded this target, but the answer to that is that we are going to have a bigger structure. So as we implement this structure, we want to ensure that 50% of women occupy strategic position in the fund. We also want to employ 5% people with disability by the end of the financial year. We want to have only a vacancy rate of 5% by the end of March 2013 for the Unemployment Insurance Fund head office. With regard to IT, we have approved a plan, but what we are going to do this financial year is to have an implementation plan that is approved by management by December 2012, and phase one will be executed as from the 1st of April 2012. On slide 24, Chairperson, you can see that the target that we had with regard to strategic objective four, with the improved client services, Our target previously was 80%, and we have already exceeded it. We are saying this financial year we want to have 82.5% of our claims that's supposed to be approved and rejected within 5 weeks of application, as reflected in our operational system, which is CIA. We want to increase the people who are utilizing our claims processing system, which is called the virtual office, by 80%. The previous target was 1,007. We want to increase that by 80%, which means this financial year we want people who are using this system to be around 3,000. With regard to the e-filing also, which is our electronic declaration system, we want to have a 25% increase in employers that are using this system as compared to the previous year by March 2013. With regard to our revenue, increase our revenue inflows, we believe that to increase our revenue, we need to increase the employers who are registered with the fund, and our target is 5% increase in the number of new employers registered as compared to the previous financial year by March. Also, in terms of the revenue itself, we want to increase our revenue by 7% compared to the previous financial year. And in our plan, the previous financial year, it was 11%, and the actuaries have actually advised us to actually lower it. They believe that we won't be able to achieve the 11% that was given previously. With regard to the reduction of losses for the fund, we want to collect 20% of our outstanding overpayment balance by the end of March 2013. Strategic objective number 5 talks more about our client, to improve stakeholder relations. We want to, this financial year, to target 9 provincial offices so that we can have communication campaigns to ensure that our stakeholders are aware of our services. We also want to reach 2 media campaigns, at least 20 million people, according to the GCIS and all media survey by the end of March. And the previous indicator was 16 million, so we're also increasing that indicator there. The memorandum of understanding, we want to have 3 additional MOUs that are signed by the end of March 2010. Implementation report to all governance structures will be done on a quarterly basis. So that is our strategic plan, Chairperson. The last slide talks about our budget. We had a revised budget, the original budget in 2011-2012. It was revised based on what has happened. We have revised our contributions downwards in 2011-2012. And if we go quickly in terms of benefits payment, we budgeted to have about 7.4 benefits that are paid to our stakeholders, but that figure was revised to 6.169, which means the rate of unemployment has not been that bad for the year 2011-2012. I'll go straight, Chairperson, to the surplus. Our surplus was initially 5 billion. We have increased it to 7.3 billion. Precisely because we have a reduced benefits payment and also an increase in our investment from 3.1 billion to 3.6 billion. Now, you'll see, Chairperson, that in the other years, 2012-13, 2013-2014, 2014-2015, we have a decrease in our surplus, and it is precisely based on what the Director General has indicated when he talks about the changes in policy. There is a move by the department to amend the unemployment insurance fund to offer better benefits, and that is going to increase our benefit payments, and our surplus will therefore decrease. Thank you.
Give this opportunity to Netlink to give us a...
bona ga re le tsana.
Thank you, Chair.
No, but
may we have one meeting, please?
I run through.
Commissioner, thank you.
Over to you.
Thank you, Chair, honorable members, colleagues. Chair, I'd like to initially plan to go through a bit of background, but taking into account your appeal, I'm going to skip through that. We'll try and give you just a overview as well of the main challenges that we face, both internal and external, and then give you a high-level sense of the strategic goals that we have set. I've also included a slide on the budget, again, just to give you a high-level sense of the financial situation. So, Chair, just maybe a few introductory comments. The first point I'd like to make is that this is very much a roadmap that we have initiated as part of the management committee to guide the renewal and repositioning of the entity over the next 3 to 5 years. It's also the first time that we have used the new strategic planning framework. One of the challenges that we're confronting is that given the nature of Nedlac and the work that it does, it is a bit difficult to conform to the KPI requirements as set in the new framework document. But this is something that we are working on with the Department of Labor. We've also agreed that towards the end of this year, we will have a more comprehensive strategic planning exercise, which hopefully is going to fundamentally review both the mission, the vision, mission of the organization and develop a much more comprehensive and detailed set of plans going forward. But it is very much trying to fit into the new strategic planning framework. So just perhaps on the point of background, and I think this is perhaps important from the conceptualization point of view, is just to remind us that the Nedlac Act was one of the first pieces of legislation that was passed. And it's important, I think, because it marks a significant, I think, step into the future as a new society. And over the years, this institution has contributed immensely to the new policy, institutional, and legislative landscape of a post-apartheid and democratic South Africa. We're now in a situation where I think there are a lot of negative perceptions about the institution. There's perhaps deep cynicism in some quarters. And I think part of the plan that we're putting forward is to begin to deal with some of those perceptions. The second point I want to make by way of background is that if in the last couple of months, we've kept a fairly low profile in terms of the media, but we've been monitoring the media very carefully. And almost on a weekly basis, there are various articles and comments about NEDLAC and about the institution. Some of those coming from the media themselves, independent commentators, a number of them coming from social partners themselves. One of the things that I think we want to correct going forward, and this is going to require a concerted and collective effort, is to make sure that we understand that NEDLAC is an entity and institution that belongs to all of us. So we cannot distance ourselves from this entity. We are all part of this entity, be it government, business, labor, and the community. When we talk about NEDLAC, we talk about ourselves. And so that's about as much as I want to say in terms of the background. Chair, perhaps just the other point is just in terms of the protocol for engagement. One of, I think, the key innovations that was agreed upon a couple of years ago was the protocol for engagement, which guides, or supposed to guide, the way that the social partners interact and essentially guides the work of NEDLAC. Now, I think one of the difficulties that over the years we've strayed away from the protocol. And so going forward, we want to firstly revise this protocol, but secondly, begin to ensure that we gain the commitment of social partners to adhere fairly strictly to the protocol document, which guides the way things are tabled, it guides the time frames for engagement on issues, and I think will help to deal with a number of the negative perceptions that we have about the entity. But again, that is going to require collective ownership. Chair, just some of the more recent comments around dialogue, trust, and partnership, and I think what is clear, and perhaps quite ironic, is that at the time when we most need dialogue, trust, and partnership is when we're pointing fingers, shouting, perhaps sometimes hurling insults. And so I think one of the big challenges for us as a nation, and certainly for the entity, is can we, I think, rebuild the matureness in terms of engagement, in terms of dialogue, and social partnership trust. So in terms of the external challenges, obviously the key challenges that we confront as a society and it's the big challenge that we confront as NEDLAC, obviously, is the triple challenges of poverty, inequality, and joblessness. These are the big issues confronting the agenda. It's complicated, Chair, but I think some of the other challenges that we face, that I think the reality is that we have inherited a fairly highly adversarial culture of engagement. And this is reflected in the institution. And I think we've got to be honest and frank about this. And to some extent, again, collectively, we've got to address this culture of adversarialism. We can talk very nicely about social dialogue, but unless I think we look seriously in the mirror and say, what do we do to perhaps move away from some of this legacy of very adversarial engagement. And I think this sometimes spills over, and this is one of the challenges that we face. There's also issues around the capacity, both of the institution as well as of the social partners, that needs to be addressed going forward. And then, Chair, I think one of the big challenges that we face is just in terms of the renewal of the organization. And that in terms of some of the more internal challenges, I've already mentioned the poor adherence to the NEDLAC protocol, the negative perceptions, that there's a wide array of issues that NEDLAC has to deal with, which I think is not commonly understood and well known in the public arena. So we need to, I think, begin to be a lot more strategic about the agenda. We can't deal with each and every socioeconomically related policy issue. At the same time, we also, I think, need to seriously address the capacity constraints within the entity itself, and to a large extent, that has been addressed from a financial resource point of view. Going forward, the organizational renewal is going to be a key objective. So, Chair, just to summarize, I guess, the strategic thrust over the next 3 to 5 years, that is to upgrade and strengthen the capacity of the institution while promoting more effective forms of engagement between the social partners. We've developed 4 sort of overriding strategic goals and priorities, effective leadership and governance. And this is essentially to say that we've got to rebuild the confidence and credibility of leadership of all of the constituencies in the institution, and to ensure that we take collective responsibility at the leadership level for the entity and for the success, ultimately, of social dialogue in South Africa. From a more internal perspective, to ensure that we have better delivery on our core mandate. As I've said, there's a whole myriad of issues that we have to confront on an ongoing basis. The capacity issues, and the challenge is to improve on the effectiveness and efficiency with which we engage in the various chambers. For one, that is an issue about the protocol and adherence and respect for the protocol. It's also about the capacity of stakeholders as well as the capacity of the entity itself to support and administer the process of engagement. And then ultimately to begin to deal with the sort of public perception around the entity and to promote social dialogue. And I think at the moment there is a fairly negative perception around the effectiveness of social dialogue. And then perhaps more importantly for this year and guiding our annual plan for this year is the organizational renewal of NEDLAC. I think we have to accept that over the years the institution has suffered from perhaps insufficient resources. These constraints, I think, have started taking their toll, a bit like a vehicle, that if you don't maintain it, eventually you are going to have problems. And now the challenge is that we've changed drivers. At the same time, we've got to overhaul the engine while the vehicle is moving. But for this year especially, our focus is going to be on particularly sorting out some of the critical vacancies, sorting out some of the staff issues, rebuilding the capacity within the institution, as well as upgrading our systems and processes. So, Chair, I think just to save time, I'm not going to restate it. That's going a bit into the detail on those. Those are the 4 high-level objectives. Chair, just to give you a sense, again, not to spend too much time on this, but these are some of the policy and legislative issues that are currently on the agenda. Now, it's very likely that within the next 2 months there will be a number of additional issues that will be added. But the general idea here is that at the moment we're looking at issues, a number of these issues are outstanding for a very, very, very long time. And if you look at the protocol, they should have been resolved or dispensed with a long time ago. So part of the commitment for this year is to ensure that for all the outstanding issues that we clear our desk, as it were, on the current issues. And Chair, just perhaps to sort of end off on a brief note on the financials. As you can see, there has been a significant ramp in the 2011-2012 financial year in the financial resources. I mean, this injection, I think, reflects to a large extent the strategic planning, the strategic prioritization around improvement in terms of systems and processes, upgrading and developing of staff. The organizational renewal essentially is reflected in this. And then just again, in terms of the expenditures, all of this has been aligned with the budget. There hasn't been significant over or under expenditure. And I think we foresee that we will stay within these parameters for the ensuing period. So I think I'm going to end off on that particular note. And this just to say, Chair, that recently, I think as recent as last week, there was a editorial in one of the major financial magazines in which the editor said that some people still have hope in Nedlac, but basically that Nedlac is done for. It's useless. And that if you want to make deals, you've got to make deals in the tripartite alliance. So I think this reflects the very deep, I suppose, cynicism in some parts of not necessarily business, but people who are close to business and some commentators. But I also want to end off perhaps share with a response that was given by the president at one of the breakfast sessions with business that he held, I think it was about a month ago, where one of the business people asked about the appropriateness and usefulness of Nedlac. And I think the president's response was very significant, because he asked the gentleman, who is Nedlac? And I want to end up with that point, that ultimately Nedlac is us. Nedlac is business, Nedlac is government, Nedlac is labor, Nedlac is the community. And whatever happens in Nedlac is a reflection on us. So certainly from my point of view, what we want to commit ourselves to ensuring this repositioning, but we cannot do it without the commitment and dedication and leadership of all of the stakeholders. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think there are other challenges with Nedlac too, that we need to communicate more, you know, and give information to people. Some years ago, Nedlac was in the papers all the years. Nedlac this, Nedlac that. And I think we need to occupy that space. It's our space. And we are the ones who can explain what we do better than, you know. And if we do that, no one will ever have a chance to distort us. Thank you very much. And thanks for even attaching the finances to the, you know, to the report. This is very helpful. And, we moving on to productivity SA, and after that we'll engage. We'll have questions here and there. Thanks. Productivity.
Morning, Honorable Chairperson, and members of the Portfolio Committee. I'm Alvin Nell, the Chairperson of Productivity SA. Well, I'm also accompanied by some of our board members, Mr. Jonas Mosia, and Mr. Tsaledi Mashiani in particular. Just a broad outline of the presentation today is with Productivity South Africa, the background, vision, mission, the strategic thrust, the programs, strategic priorities, the 2012-2013 strategic plan, and then highlights for 2011-2012 year, and then a few challenges. Due to the nature of the program being shortened, I'm going to skip with Productivity SA and background and just delve into the vision and the mission, and then our CEO, Mr. Bongani Toka, will take us through the rest of the presentation. Suffice to say that we were honored by the Honorable Minister, Mildred Olifant, to address our Gala Awards evening last year, which we are grateful for. But we want to call also on the honorable members to also support us in these productivity events and awards as we move forward. Our vision, to lead and inspire a productive and competitive South Africa. And our mission is to improve productivity by advising, implementing, monitoring, and evaluating solutions aimed at improving the South Africa's competitiveness. Our CEO, Mr. Bongani Koka, will take us further into the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson and Honorable Members of Parliament, colleagues from the Department of Labor, for this opportunity to briefly give you an outline of what Productivity SA intends achieving in the current financial year. Just briefly, we're an organization that has been around for over 40 years, and we've conducted research in various sectors within government, agriculture, and manufacturing, which we've been using to espouse our position. And we have a board that is tripartite, which comprises members from organized business, organized labor, as well as government representatives. We were previously NTI, and we had to look at our brand, and with rebranding, we converted from NTI to Productivity SA in the year 2007, and we've changed the way we do things as well as our approach. There's also an issue of productivity awards that was raised by Chairperson, which is intended to improve awareness and the importance of productivity in the economy. And over years, in terms of ensuring that we promote these awards, we have had to use key and influential people within the economy. We've had Jill Marcus, who's currently the governor of the Reserve Bank, and we've also been able to get Mr. Joseph Matekeni, who is president of NATO, Raymond Parson from Organized Business, and last year, as the Chairperson indicated, we got our Honorable Minister of Labor to be present at our awards, and in the past we've also had Mr. Gwede Mantashe, who was then from National Union of Mine Workers, and Mr. Steve Ross, who was representing Organized Business. And then in terms of ensuring that there is buy-in of what we are about, we tend to get quite a number of people to espouse what we are doing, and in the past we've also had people like the president of or the CEO of NEDLAC, Mr. Nkize, to also say something at various functions in our awards. And in terms of getting to the strategic thrust of productivity, say, we are involved in enterprise productivity and competitiveness because we want those companies to be sustained and be able to generate more jobs. We deal with cooperatives in terms of ensuring that they grow and are sustained. There is an agreement among the social partners about the importance of cooperatives, that they are very key in terms of not only creating jobs, but also being able to improve socio-economic development. And we are also involved in public sector efficiency and effectiveness, as we believe that an efficient public sector would be able to enhance service delivery. And as an organization that deals with knowledge, we also ensure that that knowledge is institutionalized. And the program that I indicated earlier on, which deals with productivity awareness, whereby we ensure that we are not the only ones that talk about productivity, but we also use key people within the economy to talk about the issues related to productivity. In terms of our programs, three of our programs which were covered in the presentation by DG include Turnaround Solutions, which looks at companies that are in distress and look at saving those companies. What we've been saying over and over again is that it's very important to look at saving jobs because we've demonstrated that it costs less than 2,000 to save one job. One job, while it costs more than 70,000 to create one job. So this program has been very successful and is currently funded by UI. And we have Productivity Organizational Solution, which is driving the importance of SMME as well as cooperatives in terms of capacity building, and it ensures that these cooperatives and SMME are not only sustaining themselves, but are able to grow and employ more people. And then we also have value chain competitiveness, which comprises a workplace challenge, which is a program that looks at ensuring that companies are world-class and competitive. And we have the support service coming from marketing, human resource, finance, and admin. In the current financial year, as an executive, we decided to identify 8 areas which will be priority areas. The first one, stakeholder management. Stakeholder management is key to productivity, say, in that most of our funding and our programs are done through partnership with various stakeholders. And what you are also saying, in order for us to be preferred organization, we have to continuously look at improving processes and tools. And then the third one is linked to an issue that has been continuously raised at this forum, which is provincial footprint. So we will be setting targets in various provinces and making sure that we make meaningful contribution. The fourth aspect of our priority is improve responsiveness. What we will be doing is we'll be putting measurements in place that will measure our responsiveness from the time we get the lead to the time we assist the client. And then the fifth one, talent management, being an organization that deals with people, we will make sure that we focus on talent management. And then there's also the issue of developing and securing knowledge, where we're saying that we need to institutionalize the knowledge. And then on the other hand, we will ensure that we demonstrate impact, which is ensuring that we go back to the people that are funding the program and demonstrating the impact of the program, not just the output, but what it has done to the community. And then on the other hand, we want to make sure that we are an organization that is growing and that is sustainable, which we do using other enablers, like making sure that we give quality services, make sure that we keep good relationship with key stakeholders. And then in terms of the turnaround solutions, which I alluded to, which was also covered by UI, which is a program that looks at companies that are in distress and ensuring that they are turned around. I will quickly go at the target for the year in the interest of time. We are looking at saving at least 27,500 jobs, and with the announcement that the funding may be grown by 10%, that figure may be easily exceeded. So what we do is we approach companies that are in distress, and we come into a dialogue between management and labor, and then put in place measures that will ensure that those companies do not just survive, but they are able to grow and employ more people. So the targeted number of companies that we'll be looking at is 180, and with the additional funding, we may exceed the 180, and we expect that the jobs that will be impacted upon will exceed 27,500. And then the next program I want to go into is a productivity organizational solution that looks at three components. Firstly, to look at productivity improvement projects. The second aspect is education and training, as we believe that productivity is vital in our education system. And then the third aspect is small enterprise development, which also includes capacity building of cooperatives. And then in terms of the targets that we are setting in this area, I will focus on one keyword, which is the cooperatives and the SMME, and we are targeting 4,000 SMMEs and cooperatives. Earlier on, the initial target was 3,500, and we think we can reach 4,000, owing to the fact that we have subsequently enlisted more partnerships, which I will cover later. And then the next program is the value chain competitiveness, and this one covers two programs. The first one is Workplace Challenge. Workplace Challenge is an initiative coming from NEDLAC that is ensuring that companies are not only sustainable but become world-class. And being a program that is linked to NEDLAC, we also ensure that there is collaboration between management and labor. So in the current financial year, we will be embarking on those programs. And as indicated by the DG, we'll be looking at 200 companies. We also conduct research, various researches, that ensure that we engage on issues that are productivity related. And in terms of the workplace challenge, which is assisting companies to become world-class, as indicated in the previous presentation, we are looking at assisting at least 200 companies, and with partnerships we may look at increasing this number and doing better than that. And we'll also be looking at establishing clusters in at least 4 industries. And we are also looking at sectors participating, which will be about 3 sectors. And then in terms of research reports, we'll be conducting various research reports and engaging with key stakeholders around this research report. The first one being report on the contribution of municipal land on economy. As productivity organization, we do not only ensure that people are productive, but we also have to ensure that the land is also utilized productively. And what you also do as well is to generate productivity statistics that looks at performance of various sectors, which we use for engaging key stakeholders in these sectors on productivity-related issues. And being an organization that is working with SMMEs, we'll also be looking at a report on impact of municipal program on SMMEs, because we believe that the more role players we can get on SMME, the more we can be able to grow the economy and create more jobs. And then there's also study on competitiveness indicators, which we conduct with Institute of Management Development, which is in Switzerland, that looks at the key drivers of the economy and see how, and indicate how we are performing. And we use that report for engaging key stakeholders in the economy in terms of saying what are the hindrances within the economy, what challenges are we experiencing, and how we can deal with those challenges in terms of ensuring that we are a competitive nation. And then coming to marketing, it's a standard marketing that ensures that productivity essay is known out there. 2 years ago, one of the challenges that we were faced with, we were referred to as South Africa's best kept secret by the Portfolio Committee on Labor because of our poor visibility. But what we've had to do was to work hard in terms of branding. And that was also part of the rebranding. But on an annual basis, there are various campaigns that we conduct over and above using influential people. We do a lot of initiatives within marketing that ensures that we are well known out there, which includes things like print, radio, online, seminars, workshops, as well as having what is called Productivity Month. And every year we try and get as many role players during the Productivity Month as possible. And then on the other hand, the marketing also look at building appropriate relationship between productivity essay and stakeholders, because stakeholder management is very critical given our level of funding and the level of impact we want to make in the economy. And then in terms of the deliverables, I'll just mention one deliverable, which is media articles, because to an extent we are there in the media, it would enhance the visibility that we are concerned about. So in the current financial year, we've targeted 85, and we are pleased to announce that we are quite confident that that number will be enhanced as things have taken a turn in terms of the relationship we have with the media. And I think I also need to mention the issue of awards, because it has come as a question in the past from the portfolio committee members in terms of saying, why are you not conducting awards in all provinces? And the answer to that is our level of funding, but we are happy to announce that we have increased the number of provinces that we are holding awards in to 7. The only provinces that will be left out in the short term, only for this current financial year, would be Free State and Mpumalanga, and in the next financial year, we hope to be in all provinces. And then I will not dwell much on human resources, except to say that we conduct cultural survey on an annual basis to ensure that we improve how we attract and retain our employees, and also to indicate that we have talent management plan in place. And then in terms of our finances, we are hoping to generate the revenue of 116 million, of which 108 will be coming from government sources. And highlights for the current, for the previous financial year is that, as indicated, that we've not been in all provinces with awards. Highlight for last year was being in the Northwest province for the first time, and what we have also succeeded in doing in the previous financial year to be able to do more work on the ground is the number of partnerships that we have secured. The reason we are able to now talk about cooperatives is because of the partnership that we have with SANACO. We are able to expand on our work on SMME because of our partnership with CEDA, and we will be able to train more SMMEs with the partnership that we have with Rainwater. DTI funds the program that looks at competitiveness of companies, and what we are also doing is we are going to various provinces and entering into an agreement with LEDET, Local Economic Development Department, to ensure that they buy into productivity interventions, and they also fund those interventions. The other breakthrough that we had in the previous financial year is the successful partnership with ILO. ILO will also be co-funding our initiatives aimed at capacity building of SMMEs. Hence, we are able to train more SMMEs. And there's also a growing number of companies that are participating in our workplace challenge program due to the partnerships that we are having in the ground. And then we've also been able to raise the profile of productivity as a brand by being in the media discussion. So last year, although we had targeted 80 exposures, we got more than 300 exposures. So there has been a significant improvement. And then there's also annual publication providing productivity trends, which helps people to phone productivity as a and challenge us on the statistics you are producing and what they mean and what can be done in terms of addressing the challenges that we are indicating. And then in terms of the challenges, the first one has been the turnaround solutions funding, which as a result of National Skills Fund moving to Department of Education, so we've been having an ad hoc funding, which was also influencing our planning. We could not come up with a five-year plan on how we are going to save companies in distress. And we only had an ad hoc funding from UI for a period of 1 year, which was renewed for the current financial year. But I'm also glad, Chairperson, to announce that things have taken another turn in terms of UI committing to long-term funding of this project. And as was presented by the Commissioner, they will increase the funding from the previous year by an amount of 10%. But what still continues to be a challenge is our limited funding. We believe that we can play a more meaningful role in the economy with increased funding. And currently, to enable us to make more impact, we are relying on various partnerships. And I will stop at that point, Chairperson.
Thank you, Paya. Thank you very much. This brings us to the conclusion of the presentation. I'm going to give this opportunity to members to ask questions. We don't have to ask all the questions because we're still going to make follow-ups on written questions that will be given to the department.
Chair, just a question for clarity. Are we taking all the presentations or should we take them as division of presentation by presentation?
I think where people can do presentation by presentation is okay. Or you can even start with the last one. I think people, as we ask questions, the department will note, the DG will note the questions and then allocate them to those who are supposed to give answers to those questions. Whatever way. Yes,
morning, Chairperson.
Honorable
Fundamental. Thank you very much. Chairperson, I've got three questions. One each to the CCMA, the UIF, and NEFLAC. The first one, I yesterday attended the briefing session by the department on the proposed amendments to the labor legislation, and it seems to me as if there's going to be a new mandate in certain respects for the CCMA, in the sense that they will have greater powers, that's my understanding in certain respects, but also that there is a demand from the legislation that certain decisions be taken far quicker than it has been up to now. And my question is just, is the CCMA ready? Should that new role come to them? And will the proposed budget also be sufficient to cover that new mandate? To the UIF, it's more a matter of clarity. On slide 24, you've referred to one of your initiatives or as to collect overpayments. Now, an overpayment just sounds a bit strange. Perhaps it's an in-house term that you use that we're not familiar with. But please, if you could just clarify what does it mean to make an overpayment and then to collect it as well. And then secondly, from what I've understood is that your reserve funds grew from 3.1 billion to 3.6 billion. Now, that is a massive amount of money that's been taxed from the economy and that is not gainfully employed at this point in time, which means that the UIF's reserves are actually costing this country jobs, which I don't think is really the purpose of the unemployment insurance fund. You have said that you want to spend part of that in terms of improved benefits. My question is, what is necessary to improve the benefits? Do you need new legislation? Do you need new regulations? What is withholding it then? Because it just seems to me, and I'm looking for a stronger word than shame, to have such an amount of money being set aside and not being used productively. And then to NetLag, will the improvement in capacity that we've been told is one of the strategic aims, will we be able to measure that in terms of shortened turnaround times? At the briefing session yesterday in Port Elizabeth, the impression I got was that people have given up on NetLag to a certain extent because NetLag has become almost like a graveyard for good ideas, and that the wheels of NetLag has been turning so slowly, and these are now my words, that the minister has actually decided, well, I'm going ahead, I'm submitting this to cabinet with or without NetLag. Come on, if you can't get your act together. Now, my question is NetLag that much in trouble, sir? Or what is the background to that decision? And can we see shortened turnaround times? Thank you.
Honourable Madam.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much. Just a couple of questions. I mean, I have a lot of questions to ask, so I don't want to feel like a presenter. I want to feel like I'm asking questions. I'll start with the Department of Labor. Right now, this is a very nice, you know, meeting, nice in the sense that you are telling us about your plans for the coming financial year and the next 4 years, and that's always good. And then we've got targets, and we will be looking at the annual report subsequently to see how you have been performing and so on. The question, of course, and this goes for all of the divisions and sections presented here, is what happens when these targets are not met? Sure, you can tell us that we met such and such a target, we didn't meet such and such a target. Are there consequences? This goes to the heart of performance, because unless it's measured, it seldom gets done or properly done. And if it is measured and there are no consequences, who bothers to make sure that it's done? That's really a question for the DG, Labor, and everyone else involved, because that's very, very important. With regard to the Department of Labor, very, very important question is IT capacity and capability. We have had a presentation previously about the Palace state of ICT. And in this information age, I believe it is absolutely important that these things should be in place so that we can, as they say, at the press of a button, you can get things done. I'm just concerned when I listen to you, DG, and say we will be developing an IT strategy and then implementing it. Because at this time, I would hope that we should have a strategy, we should be implementing it, and we should just be monitoring what is happening with it. Which leads to the second related question, the PPP with Siemens. Where do we stand with this? Where do we stand? Because to me, this is critical. It's absolutely critical. We cannot move if we don't have IT capability and capacity in the department. The other question also directed at the department is inspection and enforcement. It comes across over and over and over as a risk. We are not doing it as we're supposed to be doing it because of various reasons. Could we please be given an update as to what is happening with the capacity issue? And as I look at the vacancy rate of 7.7% in the department, I'm asking myself a question, how many of those vacancies are in the enforcement and inspection arena? And maybe you could let us have that one so that we can check on that one very, very quickly. The next one, I will leave the others for later. Probably we'll have some more time so that I don't hog the time to ask questions. I'll go to the... Netlek is my favorite bugbear. I should say to Mr. Smith, thank you very much for being so candid, because you are absolutely right. My question is, what are we going to do about it? Because we're getting to the point where we either have to abandon Netlek or really rehabilitate network so that it can do the job that it is supposed to do. I feel it is actually scandalous that we're sitting here and one of the key partners walked out of Netlag because they didn't get what they wanted to get in terms of the amendments of the labor bill. And it's tragic that an official of the department would then say, oh, it doesn't matter. There is no law which says there should be consensus at NetLeg. So, you know, everybody can stand up any time they want. I think that's, to me, self-defeating. The other issue, which is a very a specific question, is this, and I'm sure Mr. Smith would probably have experienced it himself. One of the issues that we get as a perennial complaint is that the key stakeholders sometimes do not send the appropriate representative to the forum because they don't take it seriously. So they don't have mandates, so they can't take decisions. And that's self-defeating again. I really seriously believe that we need to take very, very serious action if we are going to rehabilitate NetLeg. I'll stop there, Chair, and then I'll take it later on. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation given by the department and its entities on their strategic objectives for 2012-2013. And my question would be to the department, DG, I don't know which slide it is, because my slides here are not numbered, but it's on the employment, on the public employment service. You are talking about the targeted number, which is 90,000 in placement, which is
18,000 and referrals, which is 72,000. Now, I want to know, you know, these numbers that you're talking of here, what percentage are these numbers when referred to the unemployment rates or people that come for your services in the department? And, you know, as much as we know that there are public and private employment services or private agencies that render the very same work that you are rendering in the public sector in your department, I want to check the competitiveness of your systems, of the ASA system, compared to the other private employment providers or agencies that are out there. And can you enlighten me on this, specifically on the percentage that these numbers are, that these numbers that are presented here representing the number of work seekers and compared to the unemployment rate that we have in the country, so that it paints a picture to say where we are and where are we heading to in terms of the targeted number that you have put in place here. Thank you, Chairperson.
Mine is to productivity essay. You sound like you exist like a typical township child. Because these institutions really are meant for, of course, it might be too early for some of the people to begin to think around the issues I'm going to raise very briefly. These institutions are there to protect, promote, and sustain that truth that makes us people, to live together, to tolerate. You are just like a township child, from the township into the city back, that's it. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I'm getting worried because as a rural person, per se, with this rural mentality way of life, you understand what I'm trying to say? You will, until you will. You see, if I want to make use of productivity essay, information knowledge, and the product as well, where do I go if I'm located somewhere in Mpumalanga, Kabukuni? Where do I go? What do you do? Because you see, for me, from where I'm coming from, sometimes key aspects, the fundamental aspects of life, is not only water, electricity. Sometimes for me, a key question for my existence will be communication. Because communication is only a medicine. Now, what do you communicate when you wake up in the morning? Where do you go? How do you send your messages out to be known about your existence? Neglect. That's not going to be my last. Neglect. The life of, you see, a husband and wife staff. If either you are together or you quit, initially when you are born out of the act, that mold you. I think experience should have told you. Experience, so the story goes, is a good teacher. Something should have told you in the last 17 years. But there are things, that there are basic things that makes you to live together in the Netherlands. Simple basics. And because I'm not there practically, I don't know what it is. But I can't understand why suddenly after such existence in the Netherlands, the Netherlands per se as an institution, this noise about it, which is negative, it's not very encouraging. Where are your basics? Initially, when you were born out of this act, where are the basics? What happened to them? The basics that made you to talk to each other all the time. What happened to them? Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Masrumo, for philosophical input. The NATLEC, UIF, there's some who talk about fraud detection. I want to know how many attempts are made to defraud you, and how many of them are successful, and how many of them failed, how many people were caught in the act, and what are the convictions, and are we able to get our money back in case that we get people who are defrauding us as a department. And the DG's program 4.6, if you could open that one, please. Develop briefing document for ARLEP Governing Council by May 2012. And develop briefing documents for SADC ELS by April 2012. I thought that, maybe there must be something wrong with the formulation here. Because you're supposed to talk about this as something that are done. Has developed, but here it sounds like we're still going to develop them. If we have moved, this is the end of April, actually. We're going towards the end of April. How far are we with this document? And was it the CCMA that talked about surplus of 7 million? How to have a surplus? Is it a surplus or is it the money that you failed to use that amounted to 7 million? If it's a surplus, where does it come from? For now, this will be the question. We could either answer the questions now and take a tea break, or we go on a tea break and then get the answers later after the 10-minute break. CG, what do you suggest?
I'll respectfully suggest, Chairperson, that the tea break sounds very progressive.
Saying it sounds revolutionary. Thank you very much. Let's take a 10-minute break. We can leg stretch.
Oh, come on time, Babu. What's your name?
I'm not going to be able to do that.
bring up that we have time at all. So maybe we can do it. Although we have to go to the right side, it's a bit too many. Oh, it's not at the same time. I couldn't get a fan. I was born at
the
there was nothing I could say. It's sorry. That is, I won't be able to put a thing in the water. That place is too cold. That place is too cold. So, the two of you, I'm here in the water. And I also said, I would never see what could be in the sky. What is it? It's called me.
I'm not going
to be in the sky. I'm not going to be in the sky. I'm not going to be in the sky. I'm not going to be in the sky. I'm not going to be in the sky. I'm not going to be in the sky. I'm not going to be in the sky. I'm not going to be in who particular number on a
name? How
are you going to